This is the Living in Mid-Bloom podcast, lighthearted and heartfelt conversations about what it looks like to live, heal, and blossom in middle age. I'm your host, April Pruitt. Let's get our bloom on.
In this episode, I talk about emotional difficulties and lack of self-care. Please do not listen if you believe any of these subjects may trigger you. The content of this episode is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. As always, seek guidance from your healthcare professional. In today's episode, I continue my interview with Michelle Hill as she talks about her encounters with men who were scammers and fraudsters. She's written a book called The Heart Swindler, Reclaim Your Heart and Stop Falling for Liars, Losers, and Lunatics. She also talks about her children's book that she's written with her cousin. Michelle really shows that there is strength in vulnerability.
I met somebody online, and again, the pattern of these predators. Everything I've ever wanted. They set up their scenario first, very nicely put together, very nice structure, body structure,
right.
Everything.
Right.
And, you know, so they set up that and they just think that they make you feel like you are the bomb.com.
Right. Right.
And so he did that. He was from another state and I was in Southern California. So set up the scenario, came to visit from Denver to Southern California. And it was just great. I mean, he knew that I ate chips and salsa every Friday night. It was kind of like a ritual. He brought chips and salsa from Denver. And I thought,
oh, wow.
Time to do, you know, all that.
Right. How thoughtful. And always flying in. And he must be financially stable and emotionally stable.
Yeah. And so.
Did you let your kids know about this person?
Yes. My daughter, you know, my kids were older. I was on my own,
right.
Living on my own. But yes.
Right.
Met my daughter and, you know, who she was with at the time, all that. And it seemed real to them too. Nobody came to me and said,
right,
something's off until he started. You know, oh, I need 4 tires for my Lexus in Denver. Oh, okay. Somehow my credit card isn't working. Can you put it on your credit card and then I will pay you back right away? By that time, you're saying, I love you.
Oh,
by that time, and they say it very quickly. And so between that and sports supplements and luggage, $2,500 later, you know, and I'm like, you're going to pay me back. By that time, I'm getting kind of panicked. I introduced him. I took him to work one day. And I had a very savvy coworker who was about my age at the time, an Italian guy. And
now, where were you working?
In Mountain Valley, in California.
No, but I mean, what were you doing?
Oh, I was an admin assistant. So after I got divorced, you know, I was doing admin assistant work.
Get back in the work field, yeah.
Exactly. And so this coworker asked him 3 questions and I took him back to my condo to come back to work and he goes, something's not right. He goes, he didn't know where this country club was or this place. He's full of, you know, something.
Whoa. Ooh,
he goes, go home and ask him this and this and this and this. And I'm like, are you sure? Really? And so I went home and asked him this and this and this and this. And he knew the gig was over. He stopped talking. He totally withdrew and was on my couch setting up his next scenario with another woman I'm sitting on, you know, across the room.
I took him
to the airport. I said, you're going to pay me back, right? This is a lot of money for me, blah, blah, blah. Yes, promising he'll pay me back. And then on my way home, it was like, I got a call. My credit card won't work for the plane fare. Can you, you know, by that time, I'm like, no.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah,
the first one, yes. And it was over a few month period, but I didn't know the signs. I didn't know.
But, you know, I mean, you don't even think about that kind of thing. No. I mean, I've been close to something like that, but I'm so used to being not trusting. I think it was just by the grace of God that it didn't happen. Wow.
Yes. It only happens once, because then you know.
Yeah.
The signs and stuff like that. But there's women out there. I mean, I watch YouTubes all the time.
Away
hundreds of thousands of dollars. Women have sold their houses. They've given away their life insurance. A lot of them are widows, and they'll give away their life insurance. There's nothing they won't do for men who make them feel valued and special. And it's just,
it's devastating. You know, that looking back, especially, I know I've seen some of those shows where it's like they're spending thousands of dollars on that person, but all that money is from the previous people. So yeah. He knows he has to spend a certain amount, knowing that that builds trust. And then now I can ask them for something I need.
Yes. And they're always building on, you know, the one before is funding the present one. The present right. one is funding the next one.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just glad he didn't hurt you in any way, you know?
I never felt in danger. He did, after the gig was up and he left and he was back in Denver, he did send a veiled threat, like, watch your back. And I was freaked out for a short time. And yeah. I was looking, but nothing. Well, and most of the time, that's, you know, there are some horrible murder cases when it goes way, way, way far. But the women that are giving the money, it's not a hard situation other than.
Right. They just want the money. They don't want anything else.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It leaves you going,
But I mean, I know of other people that have gone through that have spent over, you know, $5,000 thinking they're helping someone and they just don't exist. So did you say it happened a second time?
It happened
almost happened.
I don't believe he was after money, but this was an in-person encounter just earlier this year.
Ugh.
And after all this time, I'm happily single. You know, I've ever had proposals through the years and this and that, but I was at the gym. And somebody, you know, some good looking brother was watching me. And I told him too. I was like, I was trying to time my visits on Saturday morning, like, that guy is handsome.
That's right.
Kind of interested in not knowing a thing. And so we connected, you know, verbally one Saturday morning and didn't waste any time, got my number. It was football season. You want to go meet for a game? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
He took an Uber to the place, which I thought was maybe odd, slammed down 3 or 4 drinks. And I thought, okay, just making mental notes. And
he
love bombed me. I mean, in a huge way. Took me out, very nice, you know, restaurants, and didn't say, he told me at the beginning, don't have to pay for a thing. Lovely. Lovely. And I'm not out after anybody's money. That's not
right.
My goal. I don't, you know, that's not my MO at all.
Right.
And so, but that was nice. That was very nice. Mm-hmm. Love bombed me, brought food over. I got a flu or something, and he brought, you know, soup from Panera Bread.
Ooh.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, Valentine's Day, I get these little mini cupcakes from a specialty shop. Just love bombed
me. Nice.
Within a month, he was saying, hinting at, I love you. And he was saying before that, I bet there's going to come a day soon where you're going to tell me you love me. And I said, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So.
I love that. That's interesting.
Yeah. But something in my spirit was saying something doesn't feel right. We'd go out even for a nice dinner. He never picked me up. It was all, he ended up being married. That's what I found on an online.
Yeah, because you're in California, right? At this time?
I've been in North Carolina for 12 years.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That happened earlier. Okay. Well, I was thinking, I know in California, God, you need a car, but yeah, even where you are, it would be different if it was, I don't know, a city like New York or something and they didn't have a car.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He did not want me in his car for some reason.
Wow.
Because if we would meet 5 minutes away and I said, well, just come pick me up. And it's 5 minutes away. No, I'm on call or something. There would always be an excuse. And he didn't want me in his car because.
Or in his home, I guess.
Not at all. No, we never. No. Huh. No. So it just something in my spirit didn't feel right. And then he said he had cancer, which I faked a cancer diagnosis. And I looked online. I said, do people fake? You know, I Googled it. Do people fake cancer diagnosis? Oh, the things I found, all the time they do it. He showed me stuff, but there was no dates on anything. And
that's kind of weird, even like having to show you paperwork. It's like,
you have to show me. And again, just like the original, the other one, real tears, you know, coming down the face. But when the real tears of this last one, it gave me a flashback because the one for the money,
he cried
over sushi saying, oh, I'm so glad I found you. I'm so glad, you know, you're in my life. Tears.
I love it. You're like over sushi.
Over sushi, yeah. By the way, which I paid for because his credit card wouldn't work. So $50 of sushi later. Okay, so but that's the previous story. This one, same thing, crying, you know, tears.
My God.
Pulling. But that gave me a flashback. To like, wait a minute, that I've seen this before.
Right. This movie looks really familiar to me.
Yeah, this is a replay, a really bad replay. So just when I would question him, very vague answers, just thing, you know, that's why it only had a 2 month cycle, a life cycle.
Right.
That's what prompted the book was because I have got to share stories with other women because you can Google this stuff. There's stories abound, but these are stories of people that I know that have gone through narcissistic. There's three narcissistic abuse stories and some romance scam stories. And two of my stories are in there. Two of the stories that I just shared.
Gosh.
Women have got to know this because if you're newly divorced or newly single, newly widowed, these guys can smell you from a mile away.
Right. And after a certain age group that aren't real familiar with all the technology and just even thinking in that manner. Wow.
They often work in tandem, you know, the ones in Nigeria and Russia.
Right.
They often
work
as a tag team and they'll use one profile picture. And they just, this woman thinks, oh, this guy, this man is telling me he loves me and how beautiful I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are three of them working.
Right. Exactly. The same. You
know, draw her in. And they've studied her profile online on the dating sites. They know what she likes. They know what she loves. They know everything about her and they exploit that.
And then when they can tell the way she responds, they're like, okay, all right, let's take the next step now.
It's a good one. Yep.
Right.
But these women just want to be loved. They just want to be valued. And that's what draws them in. But they have to be warned. And often it's said, you know, the good guys say, we have to pay for all the scammers out there. And they kind of do, because by the time the good guys come along, we are so tainted.
Right.
And
that's
so
true.
Distrusting.
Right.
You know,
you have to be cautious. It's just the way the world works now.
You do.
You know? Gosh, I'm just glad that one, you came out of it okay.
I will always land on my feet.
And because I don't want to just use the word strong, but it's like you realized, you understood that you didn't do anything wrong. You did nothing wrong. This person chose to take advantage of you. You were open with your life. He met your children. And I'm sure that helped in limiting any possible, I would say, harm, only because they know, you know, they recognize him, they know him. Wow. And who knows, is he really from Denver? I just thought about that. I thought, does he just like live in the next town? I mean,
you really don't know. You right. really don't know.
And that's so easy doing it that way. Then there are all these things you don't even have to deal with.
Exactly. And you, I mean, he did come. I did meet him and pick him up, the first one, at the airport. So he was coming in from somewhere. It could have been that city.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I've met three of his ex-wives. I was so fortunate because I didn't get that far to marry because I had the work. But I've met three of his ex-wives. He just did this as a serial scammer. He got the attorney before me for $18,000.
Oh,
she
my
had
God.
More money than I did.
Oh, wow. Oh, so they're all in the book too?
Mm-mm, I didn't know.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, part of that, the meeting.
Sure.
Yes. Actually, sure. Yeah, those things I just said are in that story.
Right. But I, you know, also I know it's a sensitive subject for people to, I don't know if people are sharing their real names or they want to keep it private. Because
yeah, I did not share any real names. I changed details. I changed cities. Yeah, I have to because.
Yeah, of course.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
But I'm not afraid to say my stories are in there because,
right.
And I've learned it's so right. scary putting myself out there like that because
yes,
you risk
it is.
People saying, what a dummy. You risk people saying, you know, things. And
yes, out of so stupidity judgmental. And ignorance, people are so judgmental.
Very
and yes, you're right. You're taking a risk being vulnerable. And these people that judge you, they just, they're get involved with your own life. Leave me alone. I'm sharing this to help people. You're looking at it negatively, then that's just the way you see your world. So,
and there is strength and vulnerability. It takes
absolutely
to put yourself out there and think of all the people who do that when they share their stories of abuse, of domestic violence, of all these things. There's strength in being vulnerable. And think of all
absolutely.
Those Ponzi scheme victims, you know?
Yeah.
Smart.
Madoff.
Yep.
Just, yeah, that really is unconscionable when you think of some of the things that people have done out here. You know, then I wonder, okay, you know, we've all had our traumas in childhood. It's like, what happened to these people? You know,
you wonder. Something is not right.
Something
is not right.
It always makes me curious. Let's talk about where you are now and what is your favorite thing about your job? I know that no more ghostwriting, you know, we're going to pass that on to other people. But what's the best part of what you're doing now?
Oh, well, I love what I'm doing now because it's totally in my gifting. As a book and publishing consultant, I just put all the pieces together, which was my favorite part when I was ghostwriting. Yes. Is I love to coordinate a project. I love to talk to somebody that I get on a Zoom with and they say, I have a book idea. I don't know if it's, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about it. I throw out some ideas. I tell them nobody's going to get rich from a book. So everybody
right.
is understanding that this is not going to be an income stream.
Right.
At all.
Right.
So
right.
I educate, you know, prospective clients, and I just come alongside them. And I like to pride myself on the concierge style. I send every single one of my new clients a curated, customized welcome box.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't think too many people are doing that nowadays.
No.
But I try to just make my clients feel valued and feel like, you know, I keep in touch with them. And mm-hmm. I want them to have a really personal, positive experience. So that's what lights me up now, is just taking care of book clients, coordinating between the ghostwriter and them, coordinating mm-hmm. the cover designer, the editor, the publisher, and all that.
There's so much creative things going on there. That's just awesome. So what led you to the children's books for yourself?
Well, that is, I love that question, because my cousin and I grew up together in Southern California, and she did not like to come to my house because my mother was so mean.
Oh, wow.
But we grew up together, spent weekends sometimes at each other's houses, more me going there. And then we lost track. She got married right out of high school and had three boys of their own, and then adopted 10 kids, abandoned and abused kids, special needs.
Oh my gosh.
They're all grown now. And then she came to me one day. And
wow.
Said, yeah, I know. That's her and her husband's mission. They've been together 50 years all together. Wow. And she goes, I have an idea for a story. And I said, well, I took this children's course years ago when I was first divorced. I have the notebook under my bed, I think, and let me dust it off. And so it was after a real life, they had a sheep named Giselle. And
your cousin?
Yeah. They live on a small farm. And so they had this sheep named Giselle that got too big, with the fur, whatever sheep, the fleece, I guess. I'm not an animal person, so I'm going to say
whatever it wears.
So they spent all night cutting the fleece off of the sheep. So that's where the story came from. And then we got on a free conference call. She told me the story, and I got out my notebook from my course and kind of updated myself with children's books. And Giselle's Silly Soggy Day was born. And we're, a bestseller on that one. And we've won two awards, book awards.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Yep. That and is... then a couple years later, that was 2018, I think, maybe 19. And then, I'm not sure, I have to look at the copyright. But then she goes, I have another idea.
Gets married. No.
Then Giselle's Whimsical Wintry Day. And so that was the second book. And cool. We did that. We got a bestseller on that one. And I just submitted it for an award.
Wow. So
we don't know how that goes. But
okay. So just being nosy.
Yeah. Ask.
Awards. Did you guys make money from the books?
We've made a few hundred dollars from royalties. I mean, that's really good. Most people do not get that. But we had the sales at the beginning. Kindle, I think, or KDP rewarded us with some kind of monetary something. Not big, but small.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still getting little tiny royalties from it. We're not after the royalties. We don't.
Right. Right.
Lessons in them about getting along, and animals that wouldn't ordinarily get along, like people,
right.
Different races, different, like Whimsical Day is like Giselle has hot chocolate spilled all over her, and her farm animal friends don't recognize her. And she's trying to tell them I'm still the same on the inside, even though I look all chocolatey splashy on the outside. So it's about
sweet
victims, children with different outside things that are happening to them. But I'm still the same. Please accept me. I'm still the same on the inside. So they have messages to them.
Oh, and then you reminded me, this is a very important question. What is up with the hot chocolate?
Yeah.
Let's get into that. How did you?
That was part of the story. That was part of my cousin Joy's story.
That
she goes, Giselle is making hot chocolate for her farm animal friends, and she's stirring the hot chocolate and singing a little song, and then a branch falls and the spoon and the chocolate fly up everywhere and then come down. Marshmallows are on all the animals and peppermint candies and chocolate splashes. Oh. It's really cute. We have an illustrator that is unparalleled.
That is so, so sweet. Oh my God. I'm just looking at her. Did she have like parents or anything or siblings, or she's just all by herself as a sheep?
Giselle is a lone sheep. Yes.
Gotcha. Doing her thing.
She's doing her thing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And she was part of my cousin's farm, the inspiration.
Right.
They did have named Giselle. And they had horses, and they, you know, they had other animals.
They sounded incredible. I mean, 10 kids. Wow.
Yes. All abandoned, abused. The county used to call them and say, hey, we have a child that is unadoptable.
Oh,
and they adopted. It wasn't foster care. It was straight adoption. And they have Black kids. They have Mexican kids, Asian kids. And like I said, they're all grown now. They're kind of empty nesters now. But that was their mission. That is their mission.
And are the kids, do they stay in touch with them? And
yeah, absolutely. Yes, they have been excellent parents, wonderful parents, and very involved. And it's a great thing. It's fun to watch.
That's really powerful. And I think the kind of heart you have to have. And like you said, it wasn't foster care and getting a certain amount of money. And
no, it wasn't about money, because they struggled through the years greatly. Yeah. But that was their mission. And, you know, she is very resourceful. Joy is very resourceful. So they made it happen.
They sure did. Wow. Well, Michelle, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you. And
same here, April. I'm so thankful we got to have a conversation.
Yes.
Appreciate your questions.
Oh, of course. I appreciate your openness and just allowing me to kind of dig into your life. And I appreciate that so much.
Thank you. I mean, I really, really thank you. It's cathartic, like you said, to write, and it's cathartic to talk about it. And with each story, it brings, I think, a little bit more healing and wholeness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, my dear, you have a wonderful day, and let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. Okay. Sounds grand.
All right.
Thank you for joining me today on Living in Midbloom. I hope you found this episode insightful, meaningful, and maybe it's given you something to think about. I invite you to share your positive reviews or ideas on topics you would like me to touch on by leaving your comments on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Podchaser, or Podcast Addict. We are all divine beings who just want to be seen, heard, and loved. Have a beautiful day.